T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is on the Edgar Snyder & Associates Fan Text Line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly from the Convention Center for the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase. It's Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller. Starling Marte trade talks are intensifying, according to John Heyman of Radio.com. And Derek Shelton, who's going to be at Pirate Fest at the ballpark this weekend, today on The Fan, was asked about how fans are frustrated about the lack of moves and the rebuilding effort that might be underway, and how Marte could be traded in the next day or two. And here is the manager's message to fans who are disgruntled or frustrated by all of that.
Number one, you have to listen to people regardless of what you're doing. And the fact that people have opinions about it, we are new. So, like, dwelling on the past or talking about the past, I mean, you're talking with about a new team president, a new GM, a new manager. You know, the bulk of the coaching staff is different and new. So I think the thing we want to focus on for people is we're moving forward, and it is different. We are going to change, and you know, that's where the excitement should lie.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about the organization as you've become acclimated over the last month and a half?
The excitement of the good young core position player group that's here. Having been in the American League and not seeing the Pirates a bunch, but then you start to look at this group as a whole and start to watch them on video and realize that there's some really good young players here, and there's a nice nucleus that's been put together.
I know that Donnie Kelly talked about this. Are you fully comfortable with the vetting process that happened with him as your bench coach, and that nothing is going to creep out in the aftermath of this Astros stuff?
Yeah, 100%. It's a guy we targeted. You know, I think a lot has been made that he's from Pittsburgh. We didn't target him because he's from Pittsburgh. We targeted him because he's smart, he's bright, he's, you know, ahead of the things. Anything that happens in other situations, well, number one, we cannot discuss because there's an ongoing investigation. But, yeah, no concerns whatsoever about that at all.
Have you talked to the guys at all about their response to things, whether it be off the record or on the record, and everything that went down? And have you sat down with people and hashed out how you feel about this and then how you publicly react to it?
How I feel about it is, you know, the commissioner came out and said that he was going to be very poignant and very harsh in terms of how he was going to handle it. I think he was, and from there we move forward. It's not a situation that, you know, we dealt with in Pittsburgh. You know, we just kind of move forward. I think every player, every person is going to have their own personal feeling on it, and they're allowed to have that feeling. But I think as the game, we just need to move forward.
Derek Shelton, Pirates manager, joining us here. Is Major League Baseball in a good place right now with this going on, with that being the biggest story, and how do they overcome it, so to speak?
In terms of how they overcome it, I think spring training starts and games start and people get back on the field. It's just like anything else that happens in the game. When it happens, it is the biggest story, and then we start to play games and things start to happen, and the game becomes, and the players on the field become the story, and that's the way it should be. You know, that's the great thing about our game.
What's your biggest story, the Pirates' biggest story this spring, Derek?
I think our biggest story is going to be, you know, new manager, new coaching staff, you know, adjust in atmosphere, adjust in culture, and kind of doing it that way. So I think that's going to be the biggest thing. I'm excited with Pirates Fest going on and the caravan going on. It's not just been being able to talk to guys on the phone. Now you're actually able to sit down on the bus or out on these stops and talk to guys. And the next couple days, we're going to be able to do that. And it's basically being able to have some interpersonal conversations and not just on the phone.
What is your take on how to sort of groom an organization from the bottom on up to the big league level?
How you do that is you hire a guy like Ben Cherington, who is very well versed in not only the major league side. I mean, obviously he's won a World Series as a general manager, but has spent a lot of his career working in player development. And I think the transition, not only, you know, with Ben's leadership role and Travis's leadership, you know, myself at the major league level, you want to have continuity in that. You know, talking about how things were run in the past or what was done in the past, you know, we need to focus on what we're going to do moving forward and how we're going to create the Pirate culture moving forward.
How much can guys guys hold on to or lose jobs this spring? Could we see a legitimate amount of, I guess, depth chart fluctuation and lineup and batting order fluctuation this spring, just based on the fact that you and Ben especially don't have much track record with any of these guys other than watching them on video and reading scouting reports?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to your point on the lineup fluctuation, do you guys have some thoughts on that? Because I've gone through about 30 or 40 of them in my head and written them on paper so far. So I think that the actual lineup stuff, I think that'll kind of flush itself out. And it's the fact that we need to get on the field, and I need to get on the field with them and see them and be around them and interact with them. I don't know how much our roster is going to fluctuate back and forth. I mean, honestly, we're still in that evaluation phase, like just actually getting eyes on these guys and being on the field with them and seeing how everything fits.
All right, that's Derek Shelton. And, Chris, it makes me think of, and I almost never do this now because I am a lazy piece of crap in terms of, like, ever since I thought I needed back surgery and was going to be disabled for the rest of my life, I have been hesitant to really do it and push it. That whole interview reminds me of the kind of things I would tell myself before going to the gym. Like, this is going to suck, and you're not going to have fun, and you're going to want to throw up, and you're going to feel sore, but you're going to ultimately feel better and look better. And I say that to say this. The Pirates are setting Derek Shelton up to have a really bad record in his first year. And he has to know that. And he sounds like he's in good spirits about it. And he's a very gregarious guy who is outgoing. And I think when you're a rebuilding organization, that helps. But if I were him, I would want to know and believe in the back of my mind that the 90 losses or the 95 losses or the 100 losses this year, that it's going to, in the end, be worth it. And not just, like, on my paycheck, but I mean, all right, I'm going to have to fill out bad lineup cards and get beat a lot this year, but in the end, it's going to be for something greater.
I think the nature of the sport and the way people within the sport perceive guys in Derek Shelton's role, managers, is if you can sort of take a heaping spoonful of you-know-what maybe for a year and put a good face on it and bring consistent, positive energy that doesn't seem forced or fake, it buys you a lot of sort of credit. I think Ron Gardenhire is always the guy I always associate with that. Like, he would have some really bad teams up in Minnesota, but he never seemed like a guy that the losing stuck to him and he got beaten down by it and always would have that he's a good baseball man sort of reputation. So I think Shelton, see, my thing is Shelton, we all wonder, oh, what are they doing? Are they going to formally tell their fans it's a rebuild? Are they going to make trades and then say, yes, it's obvious now what we're doing? Shelton knows what's going to happen, I think. He has to have been given a basic, like, outline of a plan and been told, hey, you know the drill. Don't speak in specifics about this. This is stuff where we're trying to get the best prospects we can in whatever deals we make. And this is the rough timeline of how this plan's going to transpire. And I would imagine being given some sort of transparent look at things behind the curtain makes it easier to put a good face on it publicly. You're right that he's going to have to wear probably like a 95-plus loss season. Like, that's just what it's hurtling towards here. And I actually wish that a standoffish kind of whiny manager like Clint Hurdle had to deal with it one more year. From all I've heard about heard from and about Derek Shelton, he doesn't deserve to have that on his record. Clint Hurdle certainly did. And I wish he was here for that.
You're
but
not a Clint Hurdle fan.
No, Clint Hurdle struck me as a giant phony. And that was even when things were going well. He struck me as a phony. I like listening to Derek Shelton talk. It's wild to hear the manager actually talk and not be giving clipped, curt, two-word answers where he's trying to prove
how smart he is. When Hurdle first got here, he knew how to turn it on, and he had his Hurdleisms.
That's me saying phony from the start, though. I never bought it. It actually sounds like this guy would give you a real-deal answer on something. Like, I think if Derek Shelton, if there was a question posed to him that actually kind of peeved him and he knew he could answer it honestly, he would give you a real answer, which I would respect.
But he's not going to answer, Chris. Derek Shelton is not going to answer. Are you guys
rebuilding? He can answer.
He
puts them, and this is what I tumbled to on my own, he puts them at a competitive disadvantage. If he says, yeah, obviously we're rebuilding, because then any team that's in a Starling Marte trade talk, Mets, Padres, goes, well, wait a minute. Come on. We're going to lower the price here. We're not giving you what you want. We know you're trying to offload this guy to us.
I think those teams already know.
They already
that
know it,
but
there's still the conceit that you can at least pretend you might take them to spring training and bring them out on opening day. But I still don't think it does you any favors if your manager is out there saying it.
I don't think your manager should be the messenger of that. I
well,
think
that's
it should
the
come
GM.
From your GM or come from your team president or come from your owner.
Well, and the manager's job is to take whatever they give him and put
and
the
I,
best
and
spin
I,
on it.
And we have seen evidence of fan bases, like, buying into that and reveling in it. The Philadelphia 76ers had that whole trust the process thing
yeah.
that fans loved, where they were deliberately bad for a number of years to get good draft picks, and it turned the franchise around. The Penguins weren't as overt about it and didn't come out and say it as much, but without sucking, they wouldn't have Fleury, Crosby, Malkin, and Staal.
Well, they tried to move on, well, or Lemieux. They wouldn't even be
from
here.
From another era,
right. They wouldn't even be here. Well, the Penguins tried to move on from that because for them, it wasn't, like, fun when they were terrible, right? They when those teams in, like, 01, 02, but especially 02, 03 were out there and you could get in for $5 and be on the glass, basically, nobody leaned into that. I mean, they were moribund. And then they were able to completely kind of, with a fresh start after a work stoppage, reinvent themselves. I think in any sport, fans now, for better or worse, are plugged in enough to the financial realities of how teams are going to behave. Like the Red Sox still, which is ridiculous, trying to trade Mookie Betts. I think fans are plugged in enough that honesty goes a lot longer of a way than it used to.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.